Thank you everyone for coming in to this afternoon's NAESP AP webinar sponsored by the Wallace Foundation on what effective assistant principals do to smooth the everyday realities in schools. At this time, I would like to introduce NAESP's Associate Executive Director for Professional Learning, Dr. Gracie Branch. Hi, Gracie. Welcome.
Hi, Honor. Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. I always have the pleasure of introducing our presenters. I call these two the dynamic duo because they have done such a great job for us in webinars in the past, and they just have such an expansive knowledge of the assistant principalship. So we have today Andrew Lindsay. Andrew is an assistant principal at Owen Intermediate School in Belleville, Michigan. Andrew, I think we need Michigan to get their votes all in, don't we? Are we still waiting on them?
Yeah, we're working on it. We got the advocates. We're doing everything we can.
Okay. Andrew's also royalty. He was the 2019 NAESP National Outstanding Assistant Principal of the Year for the state of Michigan. And also presenting with Andrew today is Aquetta Jones. Aquetta is the assistant principal at Highlands Elementary School in Delaware. She's also royalty. She's the 2018 NAESP National Outstanding Assistant Principal of the Year by the Delaware Association of School Administration. So I'm going to let you two take it away.
All righty. Thank you so much, Gracie. I don't know if I can stand in your shoes when I do this, but I'm going to try my best to introduce our first guest, which is Mr. Kelvin Moore. For those of you who are visiting, he is a principal supervisor. How about that? That's a lot of work. Don't want that job. You keep it. And he has background in autism, emotional disturbances, math, and school improvement and turnaround. He is currently working on his EDD at University of Maryland College Park. We are going to pat him on his back because those of us who have gone through that journey know that that is huge. There you go. So, welcome, Mr. Moore.
All right. And then we also have Dr. Mykia O'Cadet you're from Prince George County Public Schools. She earned her bachelor's degree in English Literature and Secondary Education from the University of Maryland College Park, which I believe is the second best U of M in the Big Ten. After teaching for 3 years, she earned the National Board Certification. I thought this was pretty cool. Within that same year, the National Society of High School Scholars, which is an organization founded and chaired by the renowned Nobel family, recognized Dr. Cadet as a Klaus Nobel Educator of Distinction. She has a master's degree in counseling and a doctoral degree in educational leadership and policy. She's currently the assistant principal at Ernest Everett Just Middle School in Prince George's County Public Schools. When she's not doing her administrative work within PGCPS, which probably is about 5 minutes of the day, she's a CEO of Educational Acquisition Groups, sports advocacy work, quality time with her husband, Dr. Jean-Paul Cadet, and has two puppies. What kind of puppies do you have?
Toy poodles, guys. They're the cutest.
Oh, my gosh. All righty. So I will have to say I did leave out that Mr. Moore is representing Prince George's County Public Schools as well. So let's give him a shout out. However, comma, Delaware is in the house. Yes, with Dr. Jackie. Oh, I call her a secret. But Dr. Wilson is the director of our DAZZLE program here in Delaware, which is our Academy of School Leadership. She has been advocating for state policy and supporting standards and training to improve our work environment for over 20 years as leaders, which is huge because so many times we don't have a voice. So having her as a voice just makes my soul light up even more on fire. And also, just to give a huge shout out, Miss Jackie, Dr. Jackie, has been selected and was selected as one of our previous Delaware Distinguished Elementary School Principals from NAESP in 2002. And also, she also works with Aspire for Teacher Leaders, the Step Up Program for Assistant Principals, which I must say I'm a part of and I love it, and the Design Thinking for Advanced Principals. So she is busy, 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 advocating for those of us that are aspiring to become more, which leads us right into giving a big thank you to the Wellness Foundation, which helps to work and support all of us and share ideas and best practices. Visit wellnessfoundation.org. Let's get started.
All right. So this webinar today, we're looking at the principal pipeline, and the Wallace Foundation has funded and supported a comprehensive aligned pipeline with seven major features, including rigorous leader standards, high quality pre-service preparation, selective hiring and placement, on-the-job evaluation and support through coaching and mentoring, principal supervision, data systems to track careers, and systems to sustain the pipeline. We've invited our panelists in today to talk with us a little bit about how that pipeline has prepared us, prepared the role of assistant principal for being a leader in the educational community and ultimately to being an administrator or principal themselves. So we thank everybody. Question in the chat box. We're just curious to know how many people have read the article, Shared Labor, that went over these seven things. But in the meantime, Aquetta, what do you think? You ready to get started?
I'm ready to get this bus rolling.
All right. So our first question: what are the typical roles of the assistant principal, and how have they shifted with virtual learning? That's a pretty in-depth question. Dr. Jackie, what are your thoughts about the typical roles of the assistant principal and how they shifted with virtual learning?
Well, so many people, when they think of the assistant principal, they think, oh, this is the person who's doing discipline and managing school buses and doing cafeteria duty. So let me just be clear, that changed years ago. That is not what assistant principals do anymore and haven't done for a long time. They are instructional leaders. They are a partner with the principal, and they're leading instruction, supporting teachers, building culture in the school and in their communities. But with virtual learning, they've really become a vital part of the team because assistant principals are so connected to their communities and to the schools, because they really are kind of like teachers. They are with kids all day long. So their role has changed in that connecting with the kids, making sure they're showing up for their online learning. If their schedules have been adapted, they're making sure families understand the schedules, making sure the kids have connectivity, making sure kids are eating and getting meals, transportation. Their role has really shifted, and they're still doing all that, and they're attending virtual classrooms where teachers are teaching so that they can give them feedback after those lessons and be their cheerleaders.
Absolutely. Participants that are watching or listening in, when we ask a question on the screen, we invite you to put your thoughts into the chat box so that it's for the greater learning of everybody involved. Hey, Kelvin, what are your thoughts about the typical role of assistant principals and how those roles have changed with virtual learning?
So first I want to start by saying thank you to the Wallace Foundation and to the NAESP for allowing us to be here. We've had a phenomenal experience working with Wallace, and so I think that Dr. Cadet and I both can sit here proud of knowing that we are products of the work that Wallace pours into, as well as NAESP. So I just want to start by saying thank you. It's interesting, right? Because I think gone are the days where assistant principals have been burdened with the responsibility of those management tasks and some of those supervision tasks. And so the absence of those tasks on a day-to-day face-to-face basis has really put our assistant principals in a place where they are the true monitors of instruction. And so we really are focused, especially in our district, on how well our assistant principals can monitor instruction, as well as how well can they give feedback. And so in understanding that, it gives us an opportunity to close the loop, but as well as focus on capacity. And so we know that part of preparing assistant principals for that next step and that next seat is really a mindset shift around moving from doing the work individually as a teacher to moving to being a principal, where you have to move a whole building to do the work and a whole set of people. So right now, our assistant principals are kind of in that middle place, and we're looking at how well they lead collaborative planning. How well are they giving feedback in a timely manner to teachers? What's the quality of the feedback? Their understanding of the FFT rubric and how to rate teachers effectively, as well as deepening their understanding of how their work plays out in PISA. So times have changed, and I think one of the things about education is that it's constantly evolving. Right now, virtual learning has put us in a place where you can't run from instruction. So I think a lot of people are owning that instructional piece that we have put in front of leadership for years. They're owning it right now.
Yeah, Gina, participants noticed, said that, you know, the entire day-to-day model has changed with virtual learning. Kelvin, just following up real quick, what's the most shocking role, or what's the most unusual role that the assistant principal do you think has picked up in the virtual world?
So honestly, I think every day that changes. So today I heard Dr. Cadet say that she was out doing home visits. That's not too shocking, but it is interesting to know that the hats that you wear have shifted. And while you may have been the person giving lunch money in the cafeteria, you may now be dropping off lunch bags at home. And so understanding that the role has shifted, I think educators, we all wear many hats every day. So nothing shocks me anymore. I work in an urban school system as well. Nothing can shock me. But at the same time, I think that it's just interesting to understand and to respect the role of our assistant principals as they have made adjustments to still wearing those multiple hats, but doing it in a different format.
Agreed. I like this comment that Gina shared. Building teacher capacity can have a significant impact on academic achievement. Definitely. You have to know the capacity of everyone that you're servicing and also know your audience. So I appreciate that comment so much, Gina.
So, Mykia, putting the ball into your court, you know, you're in that role every day as an assistant principal, just like Aquetta and me. How has your job changed with virtual learning?
I would say that something that the three of us, I know, we have never had to do is to create an entire virtual school from scratch. And you create this virtual school, but you have to keep in mind every single element that a principal would think of, you know? So, Hamilton just came out, you know, on Disney Plus, right? But one of the songs is people say, I want to be in the room where it happens. And this season, oh, you're in the room. So typically where you, okay, I want to learn about budget, or I want to learn about, you know, the hiring, or I want to learn about scheduling, and it's a gradual process. Virtual learning essentially got rid of that overnight, and said, okay, everything that you got from your pipeline program, everything that you got from your preparation program, anything you remember from your degree, now what's every element and component that's necessary for a school to run successfully, efficiently, and effectively, now make it virtual so that you can meet the needs of all stakeholders. I think that has been the greatest shift, that I don't know too many APs who were prepared for that part.
How do you work on keeping your students engaged in a virtual environment? That's one of the biggest challenges that I'm experiencing here in my school is the struggle to keep kids engaged,
yeah,
and to keep that level of rigor high.
Yeah. This is the season of quality over quantity. And so the engagement piece, one of the things I have to say, I really like virtual learning because it took our entire school to using Google Classroom. And our entire staff, whether this is your first year or your 41st year, okay, let's learn about Pear Deck. Let's learn about Flipgrid. Let's learn about so many different online platforms. And so one of the things that, honestly, family, that we're doing to keep students engaged, teaching them where they are with what they like to do and matching that with the curriculum. And that was a little, you know, different in person, but virtually. So we know that our kids are playing games. You know, they're gamers. They are the generation. They started with text message. They don't know anything outside of tech and how to survive. So revamping our instructional model that, you know, wait a minute, you're going 20 minutes. Their attention span is about 5 to 7. So how can you get this bang for the buck for what they like to do? So a lot of online applications that they're familiar with, that they enjoy, and they're engaging with those platforms, and we're merging it with the curriculum.
Yeah, one of the comments that Gina made in the chat was that changing our mindset to truly think outside the box. What may have worked in a brick and mortar may not work during virtual learning. I had a meeting today with our media center director, and we were actually talking about March's Reading Month and how we were going to do our big March's Reading Month. And I said, what about Flipgrid? Rather than, you know, because Flipgrid, you can do it from wherever you're at. And so, you know, we have to think differently. Any other thoughts on?
Kayvana was saying her role has not really changed. More duties and responsibilities have been added. Benchmark testing has been eliminated. Therefore, she has doubled as a technical support for parents and students and has become a member of the attendance team to help locate and ensure students are participating in learning virtually with learning packs. So I will say for us in Delaware, especially in Red Clay, we're very fortunate. We've had one-on-one technology for the last 3 years. So we've had opportunities that were afforded to our scholars that weren't necessarily afforded to many others. So our students kind of were a couple of steps ahead of some of our counter schools, our sister schools across the state. As an AP, my role hasn't changed too much because I've thankfully always been in buildings where we both were instruction leaders and we shared a load for the operations piece. So I'm grateful for that because instruction is my stronger suit and my principals have all seen that in me. But I do understand, you know, the struggles that some of my peers have where they're only doing the day-to-day operations. But I will say for me as an elementary school administrator, it's a lot different for those secondary schools. Our kindergarten babies can't pick up the computer and say, oh, I know how to get into this and that. So we really had to be creative and, you know, really do a lot of videos and going in and explaining and Ms. Jones dancing and jumping and hollering on recess equipment to keep them engaged and really going out and being there. It really didn't change much for us because I'm that people person anyway. However, you know, we had to go and be creative and create an outdoor library for our kids to come and get resources that they don't normally have. We created boxes of food to deliver to them, you know, on a weekly basis, and we still continue to do that. Now we're not giving lunches. We're now cooking dinners. Last night, I went and bought dinner for 3 families. That's just what we do in this world. So, you know, it's, I know I love to listen to my secondary folks because it kind of makes me think a little differently when it comes to my elementary babies. But I will say this year, starting kindergarten off, it was different last year. They were here until March. This year, they were starting fresh with this Chromebook in front of them that was, okay, I can just play games. No, this is for your learning. So it was a huge shift, you know, for our babies, teaching them how to get onto a lot of the apps, because Red Clay has a multitude of apps that are for learning and instruction, and it was a struggle getting those kindergarten babies to understand the concept and think that school is not just sitting in front of a computer.
So one of the panelists mentioned that discipline is down, so they feel like instructional leadership is up. And so, Dr. Cadet, Makia, I saw that you put, how do PBIS events look now? I'm noticing that in our building, that discipline is way down. And so it's brought out more of the MTSS or RTI side of PBIS. I'm wondering if that's similar in everybody else's schools or if anybody can kind of follow up on how that that seek to that RTI aspect of what we do kind of is enhanced by remote or virtual.
We are still doing a lot of events. We did because we just flipped over to in person. So we had a lot of pop-up, we call pop-up classrooms, a bunch of teachers worked together and administrators. We created a tech bus. So literally we have a school bus that rides around, has a virtual classroom built inside, and we have tents and chairs and everything. We set them up outside. We invite the families. We provide transportation. We give them lunch. They get to come see their teacher in person, receive all their instruction outside, and then they're able to go back home. So I feel, you know, for us, we've tried to do different things like cook in Ms. Jones's house, visit, you know, let's go on a virtual trip to Disney World. We do a lot of things to just kind of bump that up. We send little raffle gift certificates and things in the mail to our scholars who we saw were engaged during a Zoom lesson or went above and beyond and do something for one of their peers. So for us at the elementary level, we've really been able to expand it, and it actually helped us to go from paper to now a full virtual PBS program, which is not only going to help us to hold our teachers accountable that we're a little weak in those areas, but it also kind of gives the kids a bank account to look at and see what they've earned and how they can spend it.
What do you think about moving on to the next question?
Go. We right on schedule.
Before we do that, my Kia, right, energy bus. Yes, I'm sorry.
Look at that. All right, so this question is going to be for Calvin first. How can APs prepare for the leadership journey?
I don't think we're, let me stop. I was about to say, I don't think we can prepare, but my AP journey was very unique. And so I tried to support APs from my own experience around what I felt like I needed. And I tried to make sure that I can design support for them in a way that will not allow them to feel like it's as daunting as it can be. So I had the fortunate pleasure of relocating and becoming an AP at a school that was an elementary, it was a K-8 actually, and they were in transition of adding pre-K-3 and pre-K-4, and they were already a K-8, and it was in Washington, D.C., under the Michelle Rhee administration, and here I come, this young, I'm going to say I was young, it was before the gray hair, person from Florida with this nice southern accent, and here I am to be your AP with all of my wonderful secondary experience. So imagine me sitting in the three-year-old classroom trying to figure out what exactly happens in the three-year-old classroom. So I start with that by saying I didn't have anybody to support me with learning, because learning was occurring for all of us. So I had to take learning on my own. And so the first thing I will say is leadership begins and ends with you, but your learning does too, right? So you have to be in control of what you need to know in order to do your job. So understanding your landscape, understanding what the focus is for the work, the goals for your school, and understanding how do you see yourself in that work is all incumbent upon you. There are districts like us who have, you know, phenomenal AP prep programs that can teach you about, you know, the basics of budget and the basics of evaluation, the basics of feedback. But the day-to-day grind of the work, the learning really happens with you. And the one thing that you cannot be dependent upon is to think that that learning is the responsibility of the principal. Because it's not. You may have a good principal model. You may have a bad principal model. You have to take from that and go with your gut on what you feel like you need to be able to do your job and to do your job effectively. So there are things that I tell my people all the time, which is around, you know, understanding about exposure, understanding about opportunity, that all is up to you, that you own that. So you have to be able to go out and seek the opportunities. Honest to God, I didn't know what to do with the three-year-olds. So I was in New Teacher Academy with the pre-K three and four teachers, figuring out what's supposed to happen in the 3- and 4-year-old classroom as an assistant principal, because that was what I needed to do in order to learn what I needed to learn. I didn't wait for the principal to tell me to do that. So I think that there's also a level of drive that is expected, right? That you have to have some innate desire to want to do the work. And then the biggest thing that I can tell you is I had this weird, maybe because you sometimes think that people are who you are. So I had this weird understanding that, hey, if the principal say it, then you're supposed to do it. And so when I became an AP, I was like, oh, I wanted your kids to line up right here. And nobody's kids were lined up right there. And I had to figure out, how do I move the work through people? And that's not something that I think I learned along the way. It wasn't in a textbook. It wasn't in my program about really using your skills to be able to build the relationships and rapport to be able to move the work through people.
Five by five. All right. So now we're going to kick this question right over to you, Markia.
So it's so interesting to hear Kelvin's perspective. Hey, Kelvin. And just for context, guys, Kelvin is my principal's supervisor. So, this is important because for me, it was very, very different. Our district, worked with Wallace, of course, but we have something called an APIP, you know, Assistant Principal Induction Program. And when they first began the program, it was like, I think about 2-3 years, like, you gotta stay in this program because they understand administrative turnover is very high, particularly in urban districts. And so by the time I joined the program, it was a 1 to 2 year. And we had conversations about, okay, do you know your people? You're going to lead from who you are all the time, every day. However, who you are, that's why I said, Kelvin, that's a major point. Who you are is only one aspect, because one person can't lead a school. So preparation in Prince George's County looks like you're going to get a coach, a principal coach. You're also going to have to work with your principal, and you have to work with your principal supervisor. And I remember I went on an interview once before this job, and I asked the principal supervisor, happened to be in the interview family. And I said, they said, well, you know, do you have questions? Y'all know that question. Do you have questions for us? And my question was, how will you as a principal supervisor support me? And the person was so shocked and floored that I would ask that question. And the response was, I won't. My job is to support a principal. And so, you know, I'm glad I don't work in that district, you know. But when I actively tapped into my leadership coach, Dr. Christy Holden, and I tapped into my ID, Mr. Kevin Moore, and I tapped into my principal, Dr. Miriam Thomas, and monthly and then quarterly. And so I'm able to say, I'm losing my mind. Am I not good at this? What am I missing? I am a structured person. What about policy? What about procedures? You know, and they always actually took me back to the preparation program information. And they would ask questions, well, have you gotten to know your staff? And I'm thinking, yeah, of course. And I know Miss Such and Such's children. I know Mr. Such and Such, you know, works here on the weekends. And they would just look at me in a very coaching-centered way and say the question again, have you gotten to know your staff? And it's this third year, you all, that I could say, ah, now I know my people, you know. And so that part, being prepared for this journey, like Kelvin said, your drive, because there's a certain drive that I had to bring to the table. There's a certain initiative. I can say, and I know she couldn't be here now, my principal, but I've never, ever worked under anyone like her. She is the essence of Google in education. So, you know, if you go work for Google, hey, what do you need to be successful? And you're like, y'all can't be this nice. How are you going to offer daycare and exercise? And she would say, you know, this is your first year as an AP. This is my first year as a principal. I need you to bring everything you have. Bring the fullness of your innovation, your creativity. Who are you? Where is your integrity line? What are your ethics? What are your morals? What do you believe about people who don't like you, right? Because there's so many nuances to being prepared for the leadership journey. And so they constantly took me back to my training. They constantly asked the difficult questions, and I'm constantly held accountable. Anything you say or do, where's your data? And so that took away all that opinion, you know, well, my teachers are great. Really? Let me see your data. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Okay. I'm working on some things still, you know? So that was important to have a team of people. And I definitely believe that's what NAESP and Wallace stand for. Do you have a community of people who will hold your hand, who will walk you through this on the good days, on the days? Let's not all act like we haven't said at one point, I'm done. And they will say, oh, okay, you're done. Let's talk about why. Let's get to the why of it, the how of it. Now, where did you miss a step? Because if this is your vision, your passion, your calling,
Let's help you get back to the center. So.
Can I just extend on her thought, and that whole notion of monitoring your self-improvement is important, right? So Makia is very reflective, and I think that that reflective practitioner piece is something that you have to embed in you if you want to be able to do this work, because there are going to be bad days, there are going to be great days, there are going to be horrible days, there are going to be sad days. You're going to experience it all, but you have to be able to be reflective. And I think that, I don't know if she was referencing me directly, but I always will say, so what's your evidence and data, right? So if you had a good day, what's your evidence and data? And not to be facetious, but for you to be able to reflect on, this is what a good day felt like. This is the evidence of a good day. This is the evidence of my work. And this is the evidence of my impact. And I think that's important for you to be able to monitor enough.
So thank you. So Tanika asked, what suggestions we have for those who do not have a leadership coach? Tanika, I will say reach out to those of us that you can, and we'll support you. Being in Delaware, we do have Dazzle coaches. However, I was not one of those individuals who was afforded one, because my district kind of looked at me as not the priority at that time. Not that they didn't support me, because I have other people that I can go to and that I trust. But I will say for me, I was kind of like Kelvin. I literally went from bus aid to paraprofessional to teacher to AP. Hey, Jones, you got this. So it was one of those things where at each position, even my first year as an AP, my principal had an emergency my second week as an AP, and I had to literally run the building and do what I had to do. However, I will say I reached out to those people who were in principalships and said, how do I do September 30th count? Delaware is very rare when we still count everything at the last minute to determine our staffing for October. So it's going out and using those resources. We are all here to help you, Tanika. We want to build and grow together. There may be things that we don't know that you know and are well-versed on. So please take our emails, our Twitters, follow us, and we'll support you any way that we can, and anyone else on here for that matter. That's what NEESP is all about, and also the Wallace Foundation. So come on and use us all. I'm not Dr. Wilson out there like that, but I will say I can speak for Delaware. She got you if you need the help.
John Maxwell says if you don't have a mentor that's given to you, you have to go out and get your mentor. And, you know, Twitter, social media, your state principals association, NAESP. There's so many different resources out there. And to kind of back up what Aquetta said, you know, we're going to have our contact information at the end of this webinar. And we all provide different and unique perspectives on these things. But in the interest of time, we do need to move on to question number three. And Makia, we're going to have you lead off on question number three. Were you prepared for the realities of being an AP when you first became an AP?
Yes and no. No, because prior to this position, I was instructional consultant. And so I went throughout the district for 5 years coaching some of the lowest performing teachers and pretty much doing miracle work, y'all. Okay. And we did miracles. So I'm proud of our work. But I thought that was it. Oh, I have observed teachers for 5 years. I know the framework for teaching. I can speak Charlotte Danielson inside it out. And boy, was I wrong. It wasn't until my leadership preparation programs. And again, like I said, the constant coaching, I actually reached out to, speaking to the question in chat, I reached out to superintendents across the country. Not principals. I reached out to superintendents because I know what my goal is. And I asked for one-on-one coaching. I want to be in the room where it happens, right? And to hear what does my mindset need to be? And so it was through those conversations and through the pipeline programs that I was able to see, okay, I didn't know that I didn't know this much about SPED. You don't know what you don't know. I didn't know, oh, what's a 504 facilitator? I don't know what that is, right? And so those roles, something that Kelvin said in the very beginning, you learn it when you do it. And I can say for me, I've learned it because I'm doing it, but also because my preparation program took the time to say, okay, do you know SPED? Do you know 504s? Do you know financing and budget? Do you know how to look at the bookkeeper's notes and hold the bookkeeper accountable even though you didn't go to school for finance? You know, do you understand registration? And so thankfully, our pipeline program goes through all of those departments. You got to make sure you take notes now, you know, and put it on your calendar and seeing how it applies. So the reality of that, the one of the greatest realities, I would say, in the assistant principalship is two things. One, understanding that your role is a number two and embodying that role, appreciating that role, seeing the things that your principal is not going to see, and knowing how to present that to your principal, not just, okay, this is going to, always solution-oriented. So this is what I saw, this is what's going on, these are the things, and this is what I've done to resolve it. These are the things I can't resolve. Can you give me feedback? Because I'd like to. And so shifting, you know, there's a book, I don't know if you know about this one too, Andrew, Shifting the Monkey. You know, how do we shift that, right? Okay, Aquetta, y'all know, okay.
Okay.
You know, how do we shift that work? And so if you struggle with the second point, time management, this is not, you know, this is not the place for the, I'm just, you know, it's going to be laissez-faire. No, no, no. You have to ensure the safety and the security, physically and emotionally, of every single human being that works in that school. That's time, that's organization, that's planning. And so that, those things, that organizational management, that leadership team that helped coach me, that pipeline program, and also, like I said, looking up the case studies, reaching out to superintendents, this is an investment. Because you will change the lives of thousands of people, good, bad, or indifferent. So it's just a question of how prepared do you want to be to change their life for the good?
So Jackie, Dr. Jackie, I'm going to kind of ask the same question, but I'd like to kind of focus your response a little bit. Earlier in the chat, Kavana asked about MTSS and RTI has been in trouble in where she's at. Being that the majority of the teachers and students are home, the main students for MTSS and RTI are working on packets and it's tough to do progress monitoring. And she's just like, how do teachers, how do administrators, assistant principals support MTSS, RTI in this world that we're in? How do we deal with student behaviors that are online? Because, you know, that's one of those things that, how could you prepare for that as an assistant principal? And I know that that's putting a little bit on you all of a sudden.
Oh, it's okay.
I'm really interested in your thoughts on that.
Sure. You know, it's interesting that you asked that, Andrew, because at the academy where I'm the director, we do professional development with teachers, assistant principals, and principals. And we did a survey a few years ago with principals and assistant principals, and they said to us the number one thing that keeps them up at night. This was pre-pandemic now. The number one thing that keeps them up at night is issues around special education, RTI, and the social emotional support of students. And so now we're in a pandemic where we worry so much about our most vulnerable students and are we meeting their instructional needs. One of the things we have found to be very successful is collectively we can help one another. We don't all have the end of maybe all the knowledge we need, but in our schools and across schools, we do have that knowledge. And so we created a professional learning network. And when we had to go home and not meet in person, we can continue to work virtually where we bring a principal and assistant principal with their team that supports special education in their school. So this could be their ED, their educational diagnostician, a school counselor. It could be a reading specialist. It could be a math specialist, whoever they want on that team. And we come together and we work on problems of practice across schools and across teams on issues that we're all most concerned. Like some want to look at assistive technology. Others want to look at IEP development. Others want to work on, my team needs to understand the law a little better about what we can and can't do. We don't want to do differentiation. How do I in a classroom do virtual differentiation and put these children in small groups? And so in that room of this professional learning network, we've been able to bring in national experts sometimes because they're not traveling. So, you know, you can bring in a national expert now because you don't have to put them on an airplane and fly them to you to do a 1-hour presentation. It's a lot easier. And look, you have a 50-50 chance. They're either going to say yes or no. So we bring them in to really work with our PLN, our professional learning network, to actually give very specific strategies. Look, we don't want theory. We have to do this work as assistant principals and principals. So give me 3 things I can go back and work with my teachers on that we can implement tomorrow that will improve outcomes for kids. And then we come back to our PLN and talk about whether it worked or it didn't work and what may work better. So I encourage everyone is ask, you know, build your network, you know, use Twitter, use your affiliate NAESP to build this network of assistant principals. Someone always knows someone who has skills that you need. And this collective of bringing us together, you know, put 90 APs in a virtual room together like this, you'll find the answers to help one another. So I hope, Andrew, that answered your question.
So Calvin, I'm going to shift gears and come to you. And I want you to imagine what do you think is the most challenging thing, aspect of becoming an assistant principal? And then how do we address that? How do we tackle that?
I think one of the greatest challenges is not necessarily knowing where you're going to land, right? So I shared my story about I landed at a pre-K through 8th grade campus, and my background was all high school and middle school. And so I had to be in charge of my own learning. And as I think about our school system, you know, we're 207 schools, 136,953 students. And out of that, I think we probably have about 400 or 500 assistant principals. So you never know where a vacancy may come up. And so one of the things that I think is important is for you, and I heard my kids speak to this earlier, is for you not to pigeonhole yourself in what you know, but be open to what you need to learn. And so my background was math. I was an autism specialist, a behavior analyst, and that was my world. It's easy for me to be in a high school and someone place me in charge of math or place me over SPED, and that be my world. But I need to learn about ELA, and I need to learn about, you know, creative arts. I need to learn about visual performing arts and all those other things that make a school run. And so I think being able to know and own your learning is important and is a huge part of the journey of, you know, being able to bridge the reality to day-to-day work. I think also being able to understand and focus on what is school improvement and the adjustment from technical versus adaptive challenges, I think is also a huge preparation point for people, because oftentimes we get into schools and we think, hey, here's the fix. I can just provide the fix, and it may be an adaptive challenge, or you may see a technical challenge. You may get hung up on that. And so being able to understand what's technical versus adaptive is also very important.
So Dr. Jack, you just put a wonderful link in the chat that I encourage everybody to take a look at on their own time. I know I just clicked on it, and then I minimized it real quick, and I'll go to it after the webinar because I'm planning on printing it and going through it. So thank you so much.
See, Andrew, Delaware is great.
I hear you.
I'm saying we all have that, so we're sharing.
Appreciate it.
All right. So we're going to kick it to the next question. We love having fun. This is, you will never get this team and be bored. Right. All right. So now that we know all the ins and the outs and how we just may not be prepared, let's get into how assistant principals can be better leadership partners. I'm going to kick this to you, Dr. Wilson, first, because I think we all want to hear this. How can we be better leadership partners? Those days that we say, I give up because I'm running this building by myself and realize really we the co-pilot. But, you know, we forget that sometimes. So you help us drive this bus the right way.
Okay. Well, I've been in the business a long, long time, and I'm going to tell you, my experience tells me that we cannot do any of this in isolation. We have to collaborate and work together. And I don't know everything I need to know about everything, but as I said before, collectively, when we put our heads together, we can be innovative, creative, and entrepreneurial. And I think the days where we can avoid the word entrepreneurial when there are limited resources, those days are gone. We have to be entrepreneurial. So I look for partners, and I think we have loads of great partners in our community and talent in our community that goes untapped. And as I just said a while ago, people, you have two choices when you ask people. They're either going to tell you yes or no, or maybe they'll say maybe. And I don't accept maybe. Either tell me yes or no. But I will tell you, universities are great partners for schools. And I think sometimes we forget what great partners. Universities are encouraged by the very nature of how they're funded to be partners with schools and school districts, because faculty can't do their research unless their research is connected to the world of practice. So, for example, our center right now has 32 partnerships with schools and districts across the country. They're not just all in Delaware. We're working in places, outside of Delaware as well. But those partnerships are so important in us being able to help each other and learn from one another. So I really say to APs, I liked what Kelvin said earlier, when he said he had to take charge of his own learning. Get involved. Join committees. Volunteer. Say, I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to figure out how to do it, and I'm going to learn. Be a part of your district committees, your state committees, your national affiliate of NAESP committee, and get involved. Because every time you get involved with a different stakeholder of people, you learn and you grow, and you take on new leadership roles and responsibilities as an assistant principal, which will prepare you for the next leg of your journey. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in a meeting and I've said, why do I feel like I've been here before? And it's because some committee I was on or some job someone gave me something similar that was like a stepping stone to that next action that I was going to need to do. So as assistant principals, you need to be take that leadership role. Now, let me say this before passing the torch on. Your number one priority is to be the best partner in the world to your principal. I can't imagine running my school without the assistant principals I've had the pleasure and honor to work with. And they were principals in training, and my job was to give them every opportunity to lead so that when I walked away, they could run the school. So you need to not be afraid to say to your principal, hey, Dr. Jackie, you never really take the time to share with me the budget. Would you mind sitting down with me and explaining the budget to me and giving me something to manage on my own? Or I would love to lead a data analysis group, or I'd like to lead a PD, because the principal gets so busy sometimes they just may not think to ask, or they may think you're so busy already. You be the initiator to ask for those leadership roles, because what you're doing is you're adding skills to your repertoire to prepare you to be a principal.
Thank you so much. I tell you, you can't beat it.
Our
panelists. So,
but I used to coach girls basketball and always taught them after they take a shot, go after the ball. If someone's passing you the ball, go after the ball. Your professional learning is like going after the ball. Go after the ball. You got to chase it. You got to pursue it. You got to go after it, because it's not just going to come to you.
You can't sit. It's not a sit and get. You have to be willing to grow yourself. It's not, all of us don't have the great opportunity that, Dr. Cadet was offered. So if you're just sitting and waiting, you're never going to grow. It's no different than a flower that's trying to bloom. If you don't continue to water it and culture it and provide the things that it needs, it's just going to sit there. It's not going to flourish.
But if you know that NAESP National Conference is coming up in July.
Yes.
And so check it out at www.naesp.org.
Please come to Chicago. Then you can meet us in person. It's so fun. I'm sorry, but we want to hear from Makia and Kelvin on this topic. So, Kelvin, it's your turn. You can give us some more information on how to help us be better leadership partners.
So I think Dr. Jackie, she summed it up. I think, it's so important to have initiative. I remember when I first stepped into a principal supervisor role, I had an assistant principal come to me and say, well, I want to be an AP, but I've been an AP for 5 years under this principal, and I don't think I can. And I said to them, it's because you don't want it bad enough, right? So despite the quality of the principal that you serve under, your leadership ability will still shine. And so it shines better when you have a good principal sometimes, but if you don't, it's up to you to take ownership of that, and you have to be your own advocate. But I really look for how well my principal's performance show up in their work with their teams and their assistant principals. So I don't just judge my principal on their work. I look at how is it showing up in the work of the people that are their learners, right? And so the greater the ability for an AP to understand school improvement and the nuances of change management and the lens that has on culture and capacity, and to be able to understand how you move the work through people and how well a principal helps shape that and provide that, or how well they're able to identify that absent of the principal, is important to me. And so I think it's important for us to understand that, you know, sometimes we don't always get perfect conditions, as Dr. Cadet may outline, but it's still up to us to make sure that we're shining and that we're going after the ball. And so it's important for you also to understand that you are trying to build a learning organization with what you have, right? So if I'm in charge of math, if I'm in charge of sixth grade, if I'm in charge of primary, I need to build a learning organization with that. And I need to have DEF, right? The data, the evidence, and the feedback to show the why behind where we're at, where we're going. And so I always ask my APs, what's the why? What is the change that you want, and how will you know, right? And so that, to me, helps me assess how well they understand the change management and the school improvement process of their school.
All right, Makia, we're going to give you time to share. Let's go.
Okay, I was going to say, y'all said that beautifully. The only thing I would add, there's one statement that if, you know, I do TED Talks in my bathroom mirror. Y'all don't act like you don't talk to yourself and give yourself a TED Talk some days. And one TED Talk I gave myself was, I had been working with some other AP colleagues, and I realized that the worst thing you can say while you're still learning is, well, I would have. That phrase. So if this question says, how can the AP be a better leadership partner? Understanding your principal's lens, but also that Jahari window, seeing what that person can't see, seeing what they actually see, and trusting that person's capacity. And that's good, bad, or indifferent. Even when they make mistakes, because they're flawed, they're human, they're allowed, guys. Our principals are allowed to mess up sometimes. And so for me, being a better leadership partner means seeing everything and not thinking, well, what I would do is, it's, what would be best for this school that's in line with my principal's vision? And so they call me the hammer. They're like, what you want done? We're going to do it. We're going to push this PBIS event. We're going to advertise our school. We're going to revamp our website because that's your vision and I trust you. And even if I don't always agree, even if, I wouldn't have done it like that, but I'm still trusting you and I'm your partner in ensuring that your vision comes through. So that's my TED Talk, guys.
And I think, you know what, to be honest and being transparent, I think every assistant principal needed to hear that today. So that was a TED Talk that was well needed, because we all know, and if you say you don't, you're telling yourself a story. Because I'm a realist. So everyone has that moment. And then, you know, even this year, even with talking with our staff, I say, hey, guys, give us some grace. You know, it's not just about the staff giving us grace. It's also us giving our principals grace and thinking about all the things that we don't necessarily know that are going on behind their door, you know, that we're not engaged in. And you know, that thing about the I would have, we just had a whole conference on that in our building. Should have, could have, would have, but you didn't. So let's move on, you know. And if you want to do it and you feel like you can do it better, then now is your time to build your capacity to be able to sit in that seat, you know. And so it's one of those things where even, you know, we learn from each other. And I, you know, my principal, a lot of times there's things that I'm very strong in and there's things that she's very strong in. But we never look at anything as a weakness. You know, my thing is, it's a growing opportunity. It's a way to grow. How can we build you in this area and you can build me in that area so that we can look great together and blossom and bloom as the greatest elementary school in the state of Delaware, actually across the nation? Just saying. But, you know, it's important that we don't forget, you know, a lot of times, even for our supervisors that are on here, you know, it's often, well, what are they doing? on? Why did they do that? I would have did this. Why did they do this? We should have went to school this way. You know, and then if we would have went to school that way, it would have been, well, we should have went this, you know. So anything you can do, I can do better. You know that whole adage. But we go back to the we concept and giving grace and understanding that it takes a family unit to cultivate and grow. None of us can do this by ourselves. So, yeah. And I love that, Dr. Cadet, when you said hashtag community matters, because yes, it does.
One of the things that Gina said is she said, the vision is the principal's mission to do. Our job is to assist the principal until we are the principal. But it's more than that. It's immersing yourself in that vision and making yourself an indispensable part of that vision. Like, one of the things I know is my job where I'm at is I'm the nerd. I'm the data guy. And so that's where my boss isn't. But we complement each other. So we work together. And together, we're moving forward and making some, we're getting some real traction on tackling the things that are facing our community and in our community. Hey, it's 4:56. We just got a few more minutes with our webinar today. You know, again, we want to thank the Wallace Foundation for sponsoring this webinar series. I'm pretty sure I speak for Aquetta. We want to thank the NAESP for giving us this opportunity to be leading this webinar. Thank you, Mikeya, Dr. Jackie, and Kelvin for also participating today. I think do we have just a couple moments for a question or two? Does anybody have a question that they can throw in the chat that we can answer in the last 4 minutes here? If not,
we'll be shy now.
I don't know.
Every question. I can't believe that.
I don't know about you, Aquetta, but I'm feeling like I was kind of tired because I stayed up last night watching election returns.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I got energy now. It's like, yeah. I want to go to work.
I can't wait. This panel has excited me so much. Like, I'm like, I was up all night. You know, I live in Delaware, so it's kind of big here.
Oh, we have a question.
Oh, okay.
One thing you wish you had known during your first year as AP. That I have to manage my time or I will lose control of myself. And you've got, Dr. Cadet talked earlier about you've got to have that time management piece down. And I wish I would have known that. That's for me.
I learned right off of the bat, especially with my situation, that I had to take care of myself. Anyone else
want to
chime in?
So I'll say I learned a bunch of stuff. Like I learned, I think time management and balance. Yes. Change doesn't happen instantly. And I think I also learned to what Makia's point was earlier, not to judge the principal. Because I used to say, if I were the principal, we wouldn't have this kind of lunch set up. If I was the principal, and then I don't know if I shared this, but I was only the assistant principal in the building for 8 months, and then I became the principal. And then I was like, oh, that's up to me to change now. And so all the judging that I did before, it was different when the emails came with my name at the top. And so I would say that's a big one as well. Don't judge.
All righty. We have to give our lovely Gracie a chance to close us out, but I don't want to end this session.
No, I don't either. It was fantastic. There were just so many great minds with great experience on the webinar today. You know, when I was an assistant principal, I think I worked under two different head principals, and you learn so much. It's amazing how people in that role can still be two different people. But it was a great opportunity, and I'm so proud that we've given a forum and a voice for assistant principals. We have these specialty webinars, join our AP Rising listserv. We now have a special newsletter. You can read about it in Principal Magazine. But thank you all today for the gift of time and sharing your wisdom with us. It was very inspiring.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And those of you asking for our Twitter handles, they're on the slide just in case you want to go back and review the session later.